ground, civil priority. Isolation now in effect. To avoid the risk of contamination, please stay indoors and await further instructions.
Good morning, Tribe World. It's Ray here again and with another lockdown podcast. And I hope you're all doing well through these difficult and uncertain times. I'm joined now by one of your very favorite characters in the tribe and a tremendous lady. And would you join me in welcoming Vanessa Stacey, best known by you as Alice. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning, Ray. What a treat to hear your voice.
Likewise with you, Vanessa. It's lovely to hear your voice. And so how are you? You're in New Zealand right now?
I am indeed. I'm actually... I'm in lockdown with my entire family in Auckland at the moment. I'm usually based in Wellington, but we had a bit of our own medical emergency happening about a week or the few weeks leading up to the lockdown. So I find myself in Auckland with my family, actually lovely. I'd rather be here than anywhere else.
No, I can imagine. And I heard about it actually, Vanessa. And if you don't mind sharing with the listeners that your dad was very ill, wasn't he? He had some major surgery.
He was. Bless her. My father, I'm a bit of a chip off the old block. We're a little bit stubborn. And about 4 weeks ago, I was in the Black Week, so production week of Brett McKenzie's new musical, which I was working on for the New Zealand Festival. And I got a phone call from my brother while we're in rehearsal, and my father had a heart attack. So of course I was at this awkward moment where I had the entire festival look, we had a sold out season, and they're all look, I had the lead role, and they're all looking at me like, what? And at the time I didn't know if Dad was alive. My brother had left a message and he was, as you can imagine, very upset. So I rushed up to Auckland. We had a day off on the, and I rushed up for the weekend, and Dad, bless him, he was in good form. That's how stubborn my father is, Ray. Dad thought he had indigestion because he was working. He's amazing. He's, you know, 74 years old, has started a community garden for people in need in Auckland, and so is feeding 50 family in need. He's just amazing. Mm-hmm. And remarkable dude. And he thought he had indigestion, had driven himself to the pharmacy to get some Gaviscon, which, as we now know, doesn't medicate heart attacks. Went back, continued working, and then woke up on the ground and drove himself to the medical center. And they went, Mr. Stacey, I think you're having a heart attack. We need to rush you. Rang my brother and was more concerned about his car park. He parked his car. He's like, I'm going to get a ticket. And Martin was like, where are you, Dad? And he said, oh, look, I'm having a little heart attack.
Wow, isn't that incredible? But, clearly got a great spirit there, Vanessa. And,
oh, he's stubborn, I think, is the word we're looking for, right?
What a difficult time. I mean, that's hard enough as it is on its own to deal with. But then on top of that, you've got this lockdown. And your dad, of course, would be right up in the vulnerable areas.
Absolutely. Where,
isn't that incredible?
I kind of knew because I was in that situation. I'd come up and seen Dad, and he was in pretty good spirits. And they were doing some tests and going in to see what they could possibly have to do, you know. He sort of told me off because, as you can imagine, Dad's a hard working man. He said, get back there and go and be awesome and finish the show. So I went back and we had a sold out season, and then found out by the end of that week that he was going to have a bypass. So I had enough time. I could sort of sense the lockdown was coming because I'd been, of course, half of the cast that were working on Brett's show were British. So it was a collab between the National Theatre in Britain and the New Zealand Arts Festival. So half of our cast were extraordinary British actors. And they, of course, were going home to lockdown already. I knew it was coming. So I had that situation. We only got about 36 hours notice for my father's heart surgery. So I booked tickets on, and then what am I doing? And immediately, as soon as I paid for flights, I went, I'm going to drive, because I just knew. And so I drove up here the longest day of my life while Dad was in surgery. I just had to drive up the following day waiting for a call. And thankfully it all went well, and it was a bit touch and go for a couple of days afterwards, but it literally happened a week. So he had surgery the Tuesday a week prior to lockdown.
Oh, that's a match. So for the listeners, say Wellington to Auckland is about 12 hours, isn't it, Vanessa? It's a long, about 1,000 kilometres.
I think I did it in 9. But yeah, I didn't stop, to be honest. I stopped to refuel in Taupo, and then I just kept going because I didn't know what, you know, it was the longest drive of my life, just not knowing if Dad was alive, you know.
Yeah, and at that time, I mean, when you're on your own driving and faced with a situation like that, I mean, how do you, I mean, you're a very strong person anyway, but I mean, do you have a religion or a spirituality or some faith? Yeah.
I have a lot of faith. I mean, I'm a reformed or deformed Catholic? I'm not sure what reference is that, but yeah. I'm a spiritualist, really. I'm quite spiritual, so I have a lot of faith, and I know my dad has a lot of mana, and he's very strong. And we'd spoken the night before he was going into surgery, and he just said, "I'm going to be okay, bub. I'll see you tomorrow." It was a long drive, darling. It was a long drive. I've got to be honest.
So what's your kind of routine in lockdown? Are you coping all right? And you're fine now? Your family, they're all doing okay? You've got some young ones there, have you?
We have. I've got my little nephews who are hilarious, and I am actually, that's what I keep joking about. I'd like a little bit more isolation in my isolation, because I'm sharing a room with my two nephews. It's quite a large room, so it's sort of two adjoined bedrooms. So I'm sharing with Richard and William, who are my nephews, and they have a 6-month-old puppy called Chewy, who is aptly named. He just chews everything. So when you're in lockdown and you've got to do some editing and recording, I just have to make sure he doesn't chew any of my leads, because then I'd be in trouble. Chewy. He is gorgeous, actually. He's half pug and half terrier. So he looks like a border terrier. He's really gorgeous. He's beautiful, actually. He's lucky he's so cute, because he's also a nightmare.
Nephews, are they old enough or young enough for the Easter Bunny?
Oh, yes, they are. Well, they're probably my eldest nephew, who's 13. So 13 and 9. Yes. So William's probably old enough to, you know. But Richard's been, he's lost his last couple of teeth of coming out now. So we're lucky that the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny are still, they're essential workers.
Yeah, no, that's what our Prime Minister Jacinda had proclaimed. And I think
isn't she extraordinary?
It really is. And for the listeners around the world, that this is a young lady who's probably, she's not even 40 years old. She's a mother.
39 years old. She's extraordinary.
Really is a big inspiration, and I was very impressed with her during the awful Christchurch massacre, just how she, her compassion and her love and her, you know, she kind of brought the nation and the world together, really. She's the mother of the nation right now. She's looking after everybody and very inspirational. So well done to Jacinta. And Vanessa, with your dad was a stuntman, wasn't he?
Or is he? Was indeed.
Yeah.
Well, he still thinks he does his own stunts, apparently. Driving himself to medical centres during heart attacks. He was a stunter, yes. He's actually the first, he's the reason both my brother and I found ourselves on a film set for the first time. I must have been 6 going on 7, because my brother's a DOP as well, so he's a Steadicam operator. So it's had a massive impact on our lives, obviously, creatively. And my mother's an artist as well. So, he was a stuntie, and I appeared in, we sort of grew up in central Otago, and which, of course, in the 80s, a lot of films were made there when I was a kid, so a lot of Hollywood films. So first film that I was ever in was a film called Battle Truck, and I was a child in it. So I was on set. Leith Garrett, I think, was in the, you know, there were quite a few I had a massive crush on him, and I think at six, and I used to get to take him his hot drinks. And
wonderful. And so what a terrific childhood to grow up. And what other films did you were you involved with, Vanessa, as a child?
I did Willow.
Wow, George Lucas, that's incredible.
It was extraordinary.
Baby.
I was only about seven,
And isn't that great? So you from a young age, you had always wanted to get into the industry, and you're an all-rounder, as I call it, Vanessa. I mean, you're a tremendous singer, and you act and you direct, and again, for our tribal fandom that Vanessa did a fabulous job on our production of The New Tomorrow as a dialogue coach and a dialogue director with the young cast. And you teach as well, Vanessa, don't you? You're involved in teaching, and do you enjoy that?
I love it, actually. I think I'm really lucky because I've got quite a few strings to my bow, and I'm working fairly consistently. I think it's always, I really enjoy teaching because I'm a practitioner, and I think it's good to, I can go in and talk about what I'm working on and try and inspire the kids. I'm actually, after I speak to you today, I'm doing a live stream, a Zoom. This time of year, we always have an amazing National Youth Drama School takes place every Easter. So I was about to be, as we speak, I should be directing a short film for National Youth Drama School for this whole week. So it's usually the most intense. I work on films all through the year, but this is usually my most intense week because I arrive with an idea. We devise it with the students. I have 10 cast. I've never met the kids predominantly. Some of them I may have met through earlier years. But we develop the roles and we devise it. So I work on devising and writing the script. So I go home every night and rewrite. And we spend the first 3 or 4 days doing that. Then we film it over 4 days and then each night go and edit. So by Sunday, so basically we have 8 days to make an entire film. Okay. And which is amazing, which is, you know, easier said than done. But yeah. I'm really proud of some of the films have been amazing. Obviously, yeah. It depends on the pool of talent that you have for that year and how and the ideas and, you know. But yeah. It's been lots of fun. I'm wildly ambitious with them. So
I do. I think education is probably the greatest legacy, and I admire and respect anybody like yourself that can pass that baton on and mentor and nourish a new generation. It's very important. And I have to say, I mean, New Zealand, it's wonderful how when I first came down to New Zealand around about 1994, there was a lot going on, but it certainly wasn't as it is now. And it's almost like a new Hollywood now, New Zealand, isn't it?
We're very lucky that we've had, I think we've got a plethora of talent in New Zealand, and both musically and in most mediums, you know, we're seeing. I think that's the huge advantage. I mean, particularly at the moment, I wake up every day of my life feel blessed to have been born in such a beautiful country, but none more so than right now when, you know, it's interesting growing up and feeling so isolated and feeling like you're at the other end of the world, you know, whereas now that's, you know, working in our favour. But because of that, I think we also have quite a broad view of the arts, of music, and, you know, we get to see all of the awesome that is created all around the world. But we have our individual voice, and we have our own beautiful Indigenous culture that is what we really have to offer the world. And the world is interested, you know, we're quite unique, you know, we're quite a unique little country. As you say, so blessed.
No, and I think your dad probably epitomizes the Kiwi in around the world. Our listeners may not know a term called number 8 wire.
Yeah.
And that's what I was really impressed with, Vanessa. When I came down to New Zealand, I'd worked in all over the world, really. I mean, in Hollywood and the BBC and it's terrific. I mean, I'm not criticizing it, but, you know, in Shepherd's Bush, you'd drive for 3 hours and you'd go 2 miles, you know, with traffic jams.
Yeah.
I went down to New Zealand and just seen a world and a country with the most stunningly beautiful photogenic backdrops. But I'm working with just a diverse range, as you say, of talent. And this Kiwi number 8 wire, which I found very, very inspiring, where people would look for a way to do something rather than look for a way not to. And that kind of, you'll be all right, you know, where, I mean, they'd look for a way to make something happen. And your dad, I think, sounds very much like a good true blue Kiwi, where he's, you know, he's really, you know, like no messing and that kind of thing. And it is, it's a very inspirational. And you know, Vanessa, that on the tribe, and I often, you know, when we were developing the movie and the sequel, I'd be in Hollywood and I'd say, yeah, the tribe was made by probably a dozen Academy Award winners, you know. It's true. When you look at Dan Hanna, who did our production designer, who won the Academy Award for some of the Hobbit, I think it was, and Mike Hedges, our sound mixer, and just amazing range of talent. And that's what's nice. It's
Corin, our sound. Corin. Remember Corin, who was always to crack me up. Corin was hilarious. Our sound. He was our boom operator, boom swinger, who worked on all of the Lord of the Rings. I actually did some ADing on Lord of the Rings as well, and I was in. I did a bit of acting in it, and was in the voice group. So I was really lucky. I got to see before I moved over to England. And worked for Channel 5 over there. And came back, actually. I had work when I came back after 4 years, because, of course, the films went on for years. I was in the voice group, so I used to have to go up and go, oh, they're nice turnips. And so it's really funny seeing scenes and seeing a character that I, like one of the guests I played at Bilbo Baggins' birthday in the background, but hearing my voice on someone else the market. It's very bizarre.
And so, Vanessa, just so the listeners, and then we've got a lot of questions from, you know, from Instagram to our Twitter to Facebook. We got a lot of messages as well by email, so I'll get to them in a minute. You came into my life as the wonderful character Alice in The Tribe and brought a tremendous dimension to the series and through your character, who was very loved. And how did you find coming into the tribe? Was that if you could explain to the listeners how it all came about?
I think I had probably one of the most unique experiences with the tribe, because I was studying at Toi Whakaari at the time, so I was at drama school. So I was a little bit older than the rest of the cast, and I'd been doing, as you say, a bit of film and television stuff. So I auditioned for Alice, which was a guest role, and I had a scene where I think Lex came and he was bartering with me for a pig for his wedding, if I remember correctly. And I just went and had fun with it. I was like, I'm just going to have a great time. This will be awesome. And had a great time. And then the following year, I think Alice was very popular. And as you say, she's probably, maybe I came in guns blazing. And the audience really liked her. And then I got a phone call while I was in my last year at drama school from Cloud9 saying, would you be interested in coming in and being core cast? Yeah. And it was one of those experiences where I was like, I was sort of, do I finish? I've since had an honorary degree and a master's, but I at the time it was a bit of a dichotomy for me, because I didn't know, do I go and be a professional actor, which I was training to do, or stay and finish my degree, you know? So it was a bit of a, and if I remember correctly, I said no initially. Because I was like, oh, you know, I've only got 4 months to go on my degree. And, you know, and then Miranda Harcourt, who, as you'll know, Thomason's mum and a remarkable New Zealand actor, who had been a mentor to me anyway, rang me at night. And she was one of my favourite tutors at drama school. And she rang me and she said, are you crazy? She said, this is an extraordinary. Same with Robin Malcolm, actually, who were good mentors and friends, took me under their wing at a young age, and just said to me, this is an amazing opportunity, and you're never going to get the training that you're going to there, at drama school, just that hands-on. You know, we probably do a 6-week film unit. And film was really what I was passionate about, not just being a storyteller. I wanted to write and direct, and, you know. So, and I never regret that. I never regret that decision to obviously, afterwards it didn't matter because I still got my degree. But, and it was extraordinary, and I learned so much. There's nothing, at the time, as you know, Cloud Nine was the fastest television production in the world. Like, we were, if I remember correctly, getting about 12 to 14 minutes worth of content, like screen time, in the can every day. So, I mean, that was an incredible situation to be just working in fast turnaround television, the learning as a director that, you know, and as cast. It was an extraordinary experience. And, I mean, so much so that people have moded, like, South Pacific. I have since directed for South Pacific Pictures, and that's kind of the mode that they went to, and how prolific we were at Cloud Nine. So as a young up and coming practitioner, that was invaluable to me, Ray.
Oh, that's terrific. That's nice to know, Vanessa.
It also probably makes me a little unbearable as a director, because I'm like, well, why can't we get that done?
Precisely. That I should send a credit campaign to both Miranda and to Robin for that advice, because, I mean, what happened, Vanessa? I saw your performance, and I thought, wow, I was really blown away by it. I thought you had you brought just a different dimension to the palette of the tribe, and through the character of Alice, very strong, but also a nice vulnerability and a warmth that I think was that shone like a beacon, really. And I remember speaking with Harry and the writers, and I thought, look, there's somebody, you know, who's come in, and we should perhaps, hopefully she'll come on board as a core cast, because it was very, very essential. And so we were very delighted to, and thrilled that you kind of, that you did that. And Vanessa, on the, you know, the tribe, it was quite interesting. Again, just for trivia for those who are interested in the business, normally you do a pilot or, and I very foolishly or very crazily went to do 52 episodes. So we had no choice but to, necessity being the mother of invention, we had to look at a way to get that minutage, and it was very fast. And so that's, and Vanessa, the interesting with your dad, being a gardener, and, you know, your character, of course, farming and making produce. Are you interested in that? Are you a gardener at all? Do you grow your own vegetables? Or
my father is actually, much like you were talking about, number eight sort of barbed wire fence mentality of New Zealand. I think it's the old saying, isn't it? Need is the source of invention. You know, my father's actually an engineer, and so he's a bit like me. He's got lots of strings to his bow. He's a master of many trade, but he is also has a good sense of community. And I think when he retired and came up, his house came down in the Christchurch quakes. So we were a bit worried about him being down there by himself, because the quakes, we didn't really know what was going on with Christchurch. So when he first moved up here, it was going to be temporary to live with my brother and his family. But of course he loves the grandkids. So, and it's been great for them to have their granddad here. But he saw a need, and there's a community centre around the corner, which he started doing. He's also a carver. So he went and was doing carving and doing some training around there. And they had this amazing garden that nobody was seeing to. And he just took it on, and subsequently is feeding a lot of family. That's the nightmare for him at the moment, because he just knows people need him. And, that's trying to keep my father in lockdown is proving to be quite difficult.
Signs he's recovering. He's getting a bit grumpy, is he?
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, isn't that interesting that and again, for the listeners, if they know the geography of New Zealand, Vanessa grew up on the South Island, which is a little in Otago, beautiful part of the world. So you're a South Island girl, Vanessa.
I am. I was born in Invercargill, actually, so deep south.
Yeah.
And then sort of grew up in central Otago and then moved to, like, high school age, moved to Christchurch. And my father lived in Fiji, actually. So when my parents split up, we moved to Christchurch and my father moved and lived in Fiji. So I used to have a very strong Fijian accent. I used to talk like this.
Wow.
So I had, I think that's why my vowels, when I lived in London and worked for Channel 5, it was easy for me to slip into a British accent because I just slow down, you know, and I had rounded vowels.
Vanessa, did you live in Fiji for a while? Did you spend any time there?
Yeah, my stepmother's Fijian, actually. So, and so I have a lot of Fijian family, and my father lived in Vatakola for probably about 9 years.
Wow.
So, and he was instrumental in bringing homes for Habitat over there. So again, he's very philanthropic and very generous of nature. So he, which thankfully we have inherited too. I like to do some work. Anyway, I'll talk about the work that I've been doing for women's prisons later. But so he brought over homes for, and so was building homes for people in need after Hurricane Oscar in Fiji. He's a good guy, my dad.
That's no, well done doing that. You naturally and rightly are very proud of him. And what a wonderful, the Pacific Isles. I love Fiji, I love Vanuatu, I love the people, their culture, the music as well. It's stunning, isn't it?
Amazing. I had the opportunity about 18 months ago, because I also helped produce festivals, and I went over to Vanuatu, which was my first time to Vanuatu, and I foolishly thought, I was like, oh, it's got to be like Fiji. I grew up in Fiji. I'll know it, you know. But yeah, it was amazing to see the difference. Firstly, it's a little bit more, it's about 30 years underdeveloped from Fiji, from when I was in Fiji. So it's probably, you know. So, but you can see that beautiful migration of people and also the language was fascinating. Yeah.
Yes,
they have the most fascinating dialect, like almost this pidgin French. It was fascinating. And the people, as you say, Polynesian people, considering they have so little, some of the most generous people I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, no, we filmed, I was introduced to it, to Vanessa, when we did Swiss Family. We shot a lot in location in and around Fiji, but you know, I'm always fascinated with indigenous cultures, and I went to Vanuatu and was really taken. Some of the kids there, they'd walk around and with no kind of Game Boys or electronic devices, and because as you say, that's very underdeveloped, and some living in huts really. I mean, with no electricity even, but they had shining eyes and white teeth, and it's amazing, and just really living with nature and all that. That entails that. Now, Vanessa, before I get again into the questions, you, after the tribe, you went over to the UK, and I was speaking with Damon the other day, and he said you're very close to Damon. He's he speaks very highly of you and considers you one of his dearest friends. And Jacob Tamaru, who obviously played Lieutenant Luke, you used to hang out together in London. How long were you in England for?
I was in London for probably about 4.5 years. Wow. So it was the funny thing is when David and I had a great time. I haven't seen Damon in years. I'd love to catch up with him because we stay in touch, obviously, but I haven't seen him for a while. But we had some hilarious times in London because, of course, we didn't realise we kind of knew how popular the show was from doing guest spots and stuff, but we didn't realize, but of course, as two struggling New Zealand actors, for entertainment, we would go into Latimer Square and sort of hang out and get recognized. And I ended up doing quite a bit of work for Channel 5 and started a production company and produce some stuff as well. Yeah. And Damon didn't stay as long. He ended up, he was in love with his girlfriend back home. So, you know, fair enough, he came home. But we spent quite a lot of time together, and we did a few things for Channel 5. I hosted Out of the Box. And as I say, I did a kids television show, which was one of the weirdest jobs I've ever had in my life. 2 weeks in a one room with green screens talking to these imaginary characters. It was crazy. And so I was really fortunate. And as I say, Ray, that's off the back of the tribe too, because I think I was really lucky. A lot of people really, really loved Alice. As you say, I think she had a lot of heart. She was sort of tough as nails, but she was also a bit of a sensitive soul. So I think a lot of parents, I had quite a broad age range of fans, which was really lovely.
Very, very much so. And Vanessa, and Jacob was out there for a while. And I mean,
hasn't he had an interesting career?
Yeah, he's now your dad, I'm sure, would have inspired him. And Jacob, of course, now is a stunt double for Tom Hardy and was in Mad Max.
Travels the world. Amazing.
Well, one of the top stuntmen in our industry. That's great. Now So Vanessa, I'm just going to try and get some questions up now, so bear with me. And your mum is Australian, is she?
No, my mother is an Irish New Zealander. So she lives in Caloundra, actually. She's not far, because you're on the coast too, aren't you?
I'm in a place between Brisbane and the Gold Coast, and have a holiday home in a place called Sanctuary Cove.
Literally about 15 miles. You know, I think about you, Ray, every time I'm over there, because I knew you were close by. And years ago, we'd spoken about catching up, but, you know, life happens. And she lives in Caloundra.
Well, that's just down the road. It's amazing.
Exactly.
Exactly. But again, for some of the listeners, if they're into theme parks or studios, that I'm close to the Warner Brothers theme park, and they've got some great studios there. And in fact, Tom Hanks, who's been shooting Elvis for Baz Luhrmann, has picked up this virus and is in the Gold Coast Hospital. And Vanessa, you and I, we used to, as well as working together, we'd bump into each other at the airport, didn't we, at Christmas? You'd be coming to visit your mum, and I'd be coming to my holiday home, and we'd see each other at the airport.
Absolutely. I feel like I bumped into Saran and Toby often.
That's right.
And the boys.
Yeah. So I'm just coming on to our questions. Bear with me here. Some Tessa Walsh. Good morning, Tessa. And this is Tessa's question. I loved Alice. I loved her from the moment I saw her. I loved how she grew, how her character changed. As someone who never quite fit in, Alice was who I inspired to be like. Isn't that interesting? So that's a lovely thing, Tessa. So you clearly, did you feel that Alice was quite an interesting character, really? So you kind of touched those who were maybe struggling to make sense of their environment and of their life, and that's interesting. So it's not really a question, but again, just shows you, Vanessa, how your performances touched so many within our tribal fandom. And I've got one now from Jessica Jackson. Good morning, Jessica. Yes, Queen. Who would you have chosen as a love interest for Alice? I feel like she could do better than Ned, honestly.
Poor Bevan.
That's an interesting question. I mean, to be fair to Ned, if we place Ned to one side, was there anybody that you would have chosen do you think Alice would have been a love interest for Alice?
Well, this is a very interesting story, Ray, because I, firstly, lots of love to Bevan, because I just saw Bevan and his wife, Lindy Jane, not so long ago, and they came to see Brett McKenzie's show that I was in. So here's a very funny story. Firstly, also lots of love, Tessa. Thank you so much. I think Alice was relatable to people because she wasn't so lucky in love, you know, but she was also fiercely loyal, and she was admirable sort of character. I was really lucky to play someone who had such beautiful human attributes, and I really tried to always play those to the fore for her as well. The interesting thing that people may not realize, and I don't know if you remember this, Ray, when we were auditioning for Alice's love interest, there were two people shortlisted. And I no disrespect to Bevan, because I adore him, but those two people were Bevan Linkhorn, who ended up getting the role, and Jermaine Clements. Do you remember that? So Jermaine was potentially going to be my love interest in the tribe. But you know how the universe works? If that had happened, maybe Concords wouldn't have happened. And they're very good friends. Both Brett and Jermaine are old friends of mine. I actually spent a lot of time with them in the UK when they first took the Concords over. So
no, they've done tremendously well. And
that would have been interesting. That would have been very interesting, because we have, Jermaine and I have known each other for such a long time. We already have our own sort of equally awkward sort of dynamic. So that would have been really interesting.
Fascinating. I mean, a lot of, you know, we were saying earlier, Vanessa, my grandson, Dylan, who wants to go in the business. And I said, look, it's a heartbreak business, and go and try and get a normal job. But I mean, it's a calling. He wants to do it, and we're going to support him through it. But I mean, very often somebody doesn't get a role. It's not because they're less talented, or it's usually matching up looks. And we thought, we thought Bevan would have brought an interesting, quirky dimension. And Jermaine, actually, who had a couple of little scenes in the tribe with Taki, I believe it or not, and we've put that, and they've gone on to do tremendously well. And He's very
it's an
good.
Interesting bit of trivia for tribe fans.
it's extraordinary. And so out of that little show, you know, when obviously Tom Hearn's done tremendously well, we had a good chat with Tom the other day, and he's done tremendously well. So it's the New Zealand mafia, you know, I mean, the creative mafia, that it's all very interconnected. And Richard Taylor, of course, of Weta, who's done, you know, he's a good pal. He's done so well, and very, very interesting. That I've got one
really great breeding ground for talent. I think you came in with such energy and enthusiasm, and created a situation where we could all thrive, really. Because I mean, it was, you know, as much as you're like, it was like it's 20 years ago, but it was really the foundation for a lot of our careers. Same with Antonia, it's had a remarkable career off. And that, as I say, is learning to do fast turnaround television, to be on the ball, to know where you've been. Because we shoot out of continuity, everything, you know. So you really, as an actor, you really have to be on the ball. It was great learning curve, darling. I have no regrets about it at all. It was a remarkable thing to be part of.
Oh, that's nice of you to say, Vanessa. Yeah, I mean, Cloud9, a lot, you know, we're a small indie, and we move fast, and we don't have the big bureaucracy. We can be quite decisive. And I mean, yeah, we were never out of production. I mean, we did so many. And that was great and very stimulating. And I've got a lovely question here from Ashley Barnett. Good morning, Ashley. Alice was as hard as nails and could easily hold her own against anyone in a fight. But she also showed it was okay to have a soft side and show her emotions. At the time, were you aware of Alice's potential in becoming a role model for young girls watching the show? Was it intentional or just something that developed it on its own? That's an interesting question.
Yeah, well, I think that it was important for all of the characters to have different dimensions and to be not just sort of one note. And I certainly felt as an actor that it was important. And I was really lucky, as I say, Alice was interesting. I think because I had a little bit more experience as an actor too, my storylines were quite varied. So they were quite dynamic. So I had lots of different breadth and places. I was also, she was quite funny as well. I used to try and ham up the comedy with her, and I was a bit sneaky, right? I'd change my lines a little bit every now and then to sort of make, you know, to bring the humour out in her as well. And I think it's like anything, it's the same with singing. I write a lot of ballads and stuff like that, but I think once your audience, you make them laugh, you can really open up a well of emotions, because they're comfortable with you. So I think, as I say, she was lucky. I was lucky. She seemed to for the older audience as well, parents, I used to get letters. I had one letter from a fan who was like a grandmother, a mother and a daughter, who loved Alice, which was amazing as a young actor to get that sort of feedback.
Yeah, but I think you're being modest there, Vanessa. It's a testament to your gifts and depth as an actress, and you brought really lovely layers and tremendous dimensions, and I think it was really, as you say, I think you, Alice, really touched so many in another dimension. It's quite different, but I've got an interesting question from Sophie Hsu, I think it is, S-C-H-U. Good morning, Sophia.
Hello, Vanessa. Sophie.
Have you ever heard your dubbing voice for Alice in, example, French or German? I would love to know your opinion of it. Do you think it's suited to your character? If not, I'll send you a copy, Vanessa, and be interested to see what you think. Have you ever heard your voices?
I've never heard the French, which I would love to hear. I'd love to be fluent in French, so I'd love to hear what it sounded like. I think many years ago, someone sent me a recording of the German, and the dog like that, a very almost masculine. Maybe it's a man who's doing the voiceover. I don't know. And I think, which is probably hilarious. It probably brings the comedy out a little bit more in Alice as well. But it's a very bizarre thing to, I've seen a few films that I've done as well where I've been dubbed in a different, it's a very bizarre seeing yourself, someone else speaking through you. And also not knowing the intention that they're giving the line. So not knowing if they're playing it the way that, you know what I mean? It is quite bizarre. It's a good question.
Yes. Yeah, I've got one here from our Instagram account, Miss Chilobo, it is. And sorry if I've mispronounced your name, Miss Chilobo. Hi, Vanessa. Hope you're staying safe during this crazy time. Alice was an amazing character who taught me what it meant to love myself and do what I think is right. What was your most memorable storyline as Alice? What did you take away from playing her? All the love, keep the dream alive. That's a nice question. So you've really touched this young lady, and that's lovely. So I think your character, Alice, you seem very content within your skin, if that makes sense. And I think that touched a lot of people. Did you have what was your most memorable storyline? Do you have one or anything stand out?
I remember actually towards the end, and the audience wouldn't have known, but I knew, and it was a really hard decision after 3 years to go to England, but I had, you know, I was 22, 23, I had itchy feet, you know, I really wanted to travel, and I was feeling quite torn about leaving as well, and of course I loved all the kids, you know, I felt, you know, like a big sister to a lot of them, and it was hard to make that decision to sort of leave, but I remember towards the end, one of my storylines was when Ned died. And I remember there was a scene that I think John Reed was directing, who I've just worked recently with, shooting a web series with John's daughter, who's hilarious. She's hilarious. You'd love her. She's very funny. And so it was lovely to see John again, actually, because I haven't seen him in a while. But we shot a scene, and Ned's body had come back to the mall. And as an actor, of course, I was like, you know, this is my big Medea, kind of big emotional scene. And the crew were incredible, because I think we didn't, it was highly emotive, a lot of the storylines. But this was a particularly sort of harrowing scene that I wanted to go full throttle in, you know. And they were so respectful and really let me sort of go for it. And I think, and also we didn't know, this is the thing that people, I think the audience don't understand, because it was quick turnaround. We didn't know what was coming, which was really exciting as an actor as well. So, I mean, I know Game of Thrones now, you know, it's totally, you know, blown that all out of all the craziness, but we didn't either, you know, 20 years ago, we didn't know what was coming either, as you don't in a lot of fast turnaround television. So we didn't know that Ned was going to get killed off. And I didn't know where that his she'd finally found love, because I'd been so heartbroken so many times, and I was had a moment where I was like, well, Alice is getting some happiness, you know, and then all of a sudden that was taken away from her. And I think at the time, Ray, that may have coincided with my relationship breaking up.
Yes.
So wow. It was obviously he didn't die, bless him, but you know, it was timing. I think I remember feeling like that was quite an emotional roller coaster for the audience as well to go on with us. And so I remember that being quite an intense scene, and also for the young cast, because I think I went for it and I was quite emotional. And I remember turning around and them going, oh, whoa.
So, you know, it brought a tear. I teared up watching it. I promise you that, that it's a very, very, very a lovely performance. And Vanessa, I got one on our YouTube channel now from Lightkeeper. Good morning, Lightkeeper. I hope you're doing well. So are you still making music?
Yes, I am. Music's actually probably my first love. I went to jazz school before I went to drama school. So, and my father's also a musician. So he's a bass player and played saxophone. So I am actually just releasing a song on Thursday this week. So I've released quite a bit of music. You can hear it all on Spotify or iTunes. And I play a lot of gigs. I play gigs weekly, really, all around Wellington. And so I'm actually my biggest, my own personal sadness about the whole lockdown situation is in May, I had been invited to sing with the Auckland Philharmonic. Which, as you can imagine, as a vocalist, as a singer and songwriter, is just one of those things that you long to do. And so hopefully it's going to be happening later on this year, but they were doing an Aretha Franklin tribute, and myself and two other New Zealand vocalists had been invited. So I was very flattered to even be considered to do that. So that was happening in May, so that's been postponed. So hopefully that'll be happening later on in the year. But yes, I do. Go and check. As I say, I'm releasing a song called Call, which I actually wrote for my dad a couple of years ago, and I hadn't had a chance to release it. And now seems, given the title,
and given listeners find that, Vanessa, that they go to if they how would they be able to obtain a copy of that? That sounds a very special song, I have to say. That, and I'm going to check it out myself. I'd like to listen to that. So how can we obtain that? It's on iTunes.
Yeah, it'll be released on all the platforms. So it'll be on iTunes, on Spotify. If you go to and just search Vanessa Stacey. I just released it under my own name. So that's coming out on Thursday. And there's some other tunes that I've released out there on there as well. This one's a little bit more electronica. The other songs that I've released are more sort of R&B soul, sort of jazz based. And but you know, that's coming out on Thursday, and it's called Call, which ironically, as we know, is the only thing we can do at the moment, so it's quite apt.
Check that out. That sounds terrific. I'm looking forward to that. And Vanessa, as a singer, who would inspire you as a singer? What artists do you you have quite a wide range, I would think, of music taste, but is there anybody particularly that you has inspired you in music?
Yeah, I do have I've got quite a broad range of taste in music. I like everything. I like a lot of soul, sort of classics, you know, your Aretha Franklin's, but I love jazz, so Sarah Vaughan and Ella Fitzgerald. Love some Amy Winehouse. We've done both myself and my good friend Lisa Tomlins have an Amy Winehouse for the Jazz Festival. We're going to do it again, the third year command sort of performance, but of course that's been postponed as well. So Jazz and soul is really my my wheelhouse. That's all the stuff that I really love and tend to listen to. A bit of Erykah Badu, a lot of neo soul as well. But you know, we lost a great last week, Bill Withers. You know, I'm a storyteller, so that's what I'm really passionate about. So whether that medium is film or theatre, I've written quite a few plays as well, and or songs. So it's really about the story and for me. So anyone who tells a good story, as I say, Bill Withers was a great, Donny Hathaway, all of these are remarkable storytellers.
Yeah, so music, some of the lyrics are just, my big influences. A lot of the listeners will know is John Lennon. I just love his.
Love John.
And you know, one of his lyrics, I mean, I was thinking about that this morning, where I've taken my 220 calendar and tossed it into the bin, you know, all my plans this year. And he had an interesting thing where life is what happens when you're busy making other plans, you know. And so there's so much planned this year that for all of, I mean, everybody in the world, I mean, all the plans have just gone to foot, really, that it's quite amazing. That just one thing, Vanessa, on the music that, you know, you were involved very much so with the Abbey Messiah album there and John Williams, who the producer, who... And I remember, you know, just hearing you once, and I thought, wow, you reminded me of Alison Moyet. And
I get that a lot.
and it's interesting, Small World, because John Williams, of course, discovered Alison and produced her albums. And John is very keen to do, thankfully, some more tribe music. And so when the time is right, we must have a chat. And I know Meryl is very keen to. Meryl's a lovely singer, and so we might bring some more tribe music as well to our tribe world. And so for all you listeners,
I'd love to work with John again. I wish I'd known that. I didn't realize that he'd produced Alison. I loved Alison Moyet when I was a kid, and you took your time to come. Like, I love her, and yeah. I was lucky enough to see Alison a couple of years ago. She was in New Zealand, and it was the first time I'd seen her live because I'd missed her while I was in the UK. She wasn't really performing. So, and I get that all the time. I sing a lot of I have a jazz trio and we do love letters and yeah, no, she's been a huge, I love her. Yeah, I love her. So I probably good I didn't know, otherwise I would have been all over him.
John, a lot of people, I mean, John from Van Morrison to, I mean, even the other, at the Vineyard, there was a wedding, and you hear that 500 Miles, what's that band, the Scottish duo, the Proclaimers, John, responsible for that. So every time...
I knew he'd worked with the Proclaimers, but I didn't realise he'd worked with Alison. Though did really like, I did a lot of the ad-libbing. I sang on quite a few of the songs, but I did a lot. He used to get me to come in and do a lot of the harmonies and ad libs and stuff, which was always lots of fun. So we laughed a lot in the studio because I'd have a giggle with him.
Yeah. Now, Vanessa, did you do stand up? Have you done stand up? I mean, or is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have done a bit of stand up.
That must be the most frightening thing, to get up in front of an audience and do a routine. And when did you do that? And is that something that you'd like to do more of? Or, I mean, because that's an incredible, that's amazing to do stand-up. And when did you do that?
I had actually done a bit of stand-up before I even came and did the tribe. So when I was probably about 20, 21, I started doing, and I was at drama school, and I was a poor student, and someone said to me, oh, you're funny, you should go and do stand-up. And I was like, what? You know? Yeah. And it was like $80 which as a student, that was remarkable money, to do a 15 minutes, but or not even, it was about 5 minutes. Or maybe it was like $40, I can't remember. Anyway, but it was cash. And if I'm honest, that was my... and that's how I'd already worked with Brett and Jermaine, but that's how I started. So I ended up doing, I was really good off the cuff. So I was really good at ad-libbing. So I ended up doing a lot of emceeing of stand-up, so which was great because I'd only have to write a few jokes and then basically just take the mickey out of all the other acts. So when they which, you know, I really love. And so it was easy. I just found it easy. And as a performer, much like I find singing the most terrifying because there's certain elements that could go wrong. You know what I mean? Like, you, depending on, it's an environmental thing, depending on the room, depending on how well you are, you know, so on and so on. So that can be more, but I, when I do all my live gigs, there's always an element of humor. Yeah, because I have to, as I say, once you make people laugh, they're really open to, I can make someone laugh and then, and then, you know, 3 minutes later have them in tears if I'm singing a ballad. Because once you, people have relaxed and they're open to you. And I think the best thing, I think the best comics are the ones that are vulnerable, that are honest. And ultimately, and most of my humor, I didn't want to be, I didn't want to be cruel about it. So most of it was self-effacing. Like, I don't know if you've seen Nanette, which is an extraordinary Australian comic who just blew comedy. She just ripped comedy, the pathos of comedy apart by saying exactly that. Usually humor is self derivative or self depreciative, so we use ourselves as a battering rod to as human. And I was the same because I was a bigger girl, and because I was a redhead. You know, I had a few things working in my favor humor wise. Yeah. So but I love it. Like I love making people laugh. That's it.
Well, that's a tremendous gift, Vanessa. I mean, if you can bring a smile to anybody, that to me is wonderful. And and I've got one from Karina Behr, B-E-H-R. Good morning, Karina. Ray, can you please tell her that she has an amazing and touching voice? Now, I don't know if that's in both singing or in your acting voice. You do have a lovely speaking voice, if I may say so. It's very, very calming, actually. And that's very nice. That now, bear with me. That I've got another one. This is interesting.
Thanks, from
Abby Dabs. Abby Dabs. Good morning, Abby Dabs. That's an interesting name. Did you treat your on-screen sister like one in real life?
Ellie?
Yeah.
Oh, Jennifer. Jen was a sweetheart. Yeah, we got on very well, actually, Jen. I was lucky. I got on with all of the kids. They were all, I found them really funny because I was a few years older than them all. So I got to be sort of big sis, but I did also spend, if I'm honest, I spend a lot of time hanging out with the crew because I was a little bit older, and I was fascinated with the technicality of making the show and wanted to direct and go back and do second unit and that sort of thing. That really fascinated me. But I loved all the kids. They were all fantastic. And Jen and I often, because we had scenes together, would always be in the pickups together, you know, when we were getting picked up in the morning. So we had quite a bit of time to run lines and to have a giggle. So it was always interesting for me. And also the kids were going through things that, you know, they were falling in love with each other, and, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, so it was always really sweet and really, really cute. And also, it was interesting. Yeah, I got on very well with Jen.
So in some ways you were like a big sister to them all in many
ways. Totally.
Lovely. That. Now, Vanessa, I got one from Joshua Duncan. Good morning, Joshua. What's the first thing you're going to do after all this madness ends?
I'm going to record some more music, and I'm going to, the funny thing is, I think because I've been here with my family and looking after my dad, which has been awesome, I may bring him with me, but depending on how he's feeling and, you know, if he's up for the trip. But I'm going to go home and I'm going to self-isolate. Yeah. I'm probably going to go home. My flatmates have been ringing me. They're miserable. They're like, they've realized that I'm the funny one that does all the cooking and cleaning. So they've been missing me, but I'm going to go home, probably spend a few hours having a laugh with them, and I'm going to lock myself in my bedroom for about 3 days because I haven't had my own space.
You need your space. You know, my my children, my grandchildren actually were born up. I used to have one day a week for me, you know, which sounds indulgent, but I mean, they call it the man cave time, but it's not exclusive to men. I mean, I think human beings, we do need time alone to reflect and to make sense and to process everything that's going on, don't we, really? And
absolutely.
That's a great, so my children, and particularly the grandchildren, they thought that that's a bit odd that, you know, I said, look, I don't care what's going on. And I just, they weren't allowed to come near their old dad or granddad. But that was my time. And in fact, I was speaking with Tom about it the other day, where to give others oxygen, you've got to give yourself oxygen first, like on the airplanes, and otherwise
absolutely.
You can't.
Absolutely.
So
just a mental health day. I also, and it's been such an highly emotional and intense time, because I literally came from a 3-week really intensive rehearsal process for Brett McKenzie's new show with these extraordinary, like the lead actor that Daniel Rigby, who was in the show, had just been working with Olivia Colman, and you know, he's in Flowers, and you know, it was an extraordinary cast. So I went from a really heightened creative moment, which you pour yourself into, you know, and we were developing the show because it was the first run of Brett McKenzie, who's the other half of the Flight of the Conchords, and Oscar award winning songwriter. Has just written, he's adapted the brief and terrifying reign of Phil into a musical. And so we were developing that and devising it. So it was the first sort of staging of it. So it was a really intensely creative period. And then, of course, my father had a heart attack.
Yeah.
And then I went into that. So I think I've been in a really heightened sort of state for the last 6 weeks anyway. Yeah. So this time out has been sort of, you know, but yes, I will definitely need, I will be self-isolating after the isolation a few days, just to recharge.
Yeah, well, you make sure, because that's true yin and yang, you know, positive, negative, night, day, we, you know.
Absolutely.
The buzz of that compared to the other thing. Now, Vanessa, there's a lot of our tribal brothers and sisters, as we say, around the world are feeling a bit anxious at this time, and some very frightened and some very alone. And have you any advice you can give to them at this time? I mean, anything that probably to take time and self-reflect, I would think, or meditate. But any thoughts you have on that?
I think the most powerful thing to remember is, I think we're in a really extraordinary situation at the moment where the world is kind of resetting. And I think it's given us all a moment. Obviously, there are people that have their own family, you know, who have lost. We've had a lot of loss happening in the world at the moment. But this is also a remarkable time where we can really reflect on what's important and those that are the closest to us, and also how simple life really can be. You know, we have, everything's become so clouded, not just the air. And it's incredible to see how much the world, just in being locked down, you know, pollution is down, you know, something like 33%. You know, just there are some extraordinary, I know this sounds horrific, but we have to see the positives in this awful situation. And also just to take a moment to look after yourself and to be well. And also do, you know, this is, I saw someone put it beautifully the other day, this is one chance that we have as a collective entity, as humanity, to do the right thing and just to be heroes. Each of us can be a hero by just looking after the people that are closest to us that we love, just staying home and just being safe. And also, darling, this too will pass. We have to have that faith.
No, I think that's excellent advice, Vanessa, and I entirely endorse that. And it's a time that, as you say, there's a lot of hardship, heartache. There's, for those who have lost their loved ones, and also there's a lot of people hurting fiscally and all.
Oh, yes.
It's your physical health, your spiritual health, your fiscal health.
Mental health, yeah, people need to, we need to take, because I think, you know, this is realistically, we're going to go into economic, you know, or, you know, the Great Depression again after this. You know, we have to be aware of that, but also mindful of the fact that in those moments, this is an incredible situation as an artist, because like with the first Great Depression, you know, people need to be lifted up. We need, so take this time to write, take this time to reflect, to meditate, to breathe, really, and know that this will pass, and that it's an extraordinary time. Imagine if this had happened. What a blessing it is that we can talk, still stay in touch with each other, and to reach out if you need someone. Just isolation doesn't mean being isolated. You know, we are all in this together. As cliche as that sounds, it's so true. This is our chance to make a difference. And the chances will keep coming by being generous and being loving. Like I say, my father is a great example for me he would give the shirt off his back to someone if they needed it. And I have to live with that same sort of pathos and that same, you know, we're so blessed, and we just have to count our blessings and stay safe, be kind.
I echo those as well, Vanessa, and it's amazing how fast, I always say this in the interview, say that the hour just passes by so quickly, and I won't take much more of your time other than to say thank you, Vanessa, for, on behalf of all your fans in Tribe World, of which there's many, many, many of them all over the world, you know, who will be very grateful for you taking the time, and I'd echo Vanessa's sentiments to you all to send our love, Vanessa, to you all in this time, and to never lose hope, always have hope, and this too will pass, and there's tomorrow will herald something better, I think, so well done to you, Vanessa. You take good care of yourself and your dad and your father now and your family, and above all, you find that space and reflect and you know, there's some great things in store for you with all your creative talents and abilities, and I look forward to you know, I'm going to check out your single this Thursday. I'm looking forward to that, and to catching up with you on a one-on-one over a glass of Pinot at our vineyard. And
I would love that, Ray. I would love that. As you say, so much love to everybody out there, all the Tribe fans. Thank you so much for keeping the dream alive for so long and with such good heart. You know, I think that's what's been interesting, people making those connections and reflections on the story, and each of the Tribe characters made it through together, you know, and we'll get through this will pass.
Oh, well done, Vanessa. Well, you take good care, and lots of love to you, and
thank you, Ray.
We'll catch up soon. All the very best.
Take care, my love. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, Vanessa. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.